Our sermon text this morning is Genesis chapter 24, verses 1 to 28, and then the end of the chapter is verses 62 to 67. Genesis 24, 1 to 28, and 62 to 67. Now hear the word of the Lord. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house, who ruled over all that he had, "Please put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But you shall go to my country and to my family and take a wife for my son Isaac." And the servant said to him, "Perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came?" But Abraham said to him, "Beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, 'To your descendants I give this land,' he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son there. And if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be released from this oath. Only do not take my son back there." So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. And he made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. Then he said, "O Lord, God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, 'Please let down your pitcher that I may drink,' and she says, 'Drink, and I will also give your camels a drink,' let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master." And it happened, before he had finished speaking, that behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. But the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin. No man had known her. And she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Please let me drink a little water from your pitcher." So she said, "Drink, my lord." Then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, "I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking." Then she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, remained silent so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. So it was, when the camels had finished drinking, that the man took a golden nose ring weighing half a shekel and two bracelets for her wrists weighing 10 shekels of gold and said, "Whose daughter are you? Tell me, please, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge?" So she said to him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, Milcah's son, whom she bore to Nahor." Moreover, she said to him, "We have both straw and feet enough and room to lodge." The man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. As for me being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." So the young woman ran and told her mother's household these things. Verse 62. Now Isaac came from the way of Beer Lahai-roi, for he dwelt in the south. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening. And he lifted his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. Then Rebekah lifted her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel. For she had said to the servant, "Who is this man walking in the field to meet us?" The servant said, "It is my master." So she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother's tent, mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. As the deer pants for water, our souls pant for you, O God. We pour out our souls within us. With voices of joy and praise, we go to this house with the multitude. Deep calls to deep, all your waves and billows have gone over us. Command your loving kindness in the daytime, for we hope in you. We shall yet praise you. The help of our countenance, you are our God. Speak to us now in your word by your Spirit. Open our ears, give us hearing, give us faith. Open our minds, give us understanding. Open our hearts, our souls, increase our love for you, for our neighbor, and for your word, and increase our souls with joy as we worship you and serve you in the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Boys and girls, your words this morning are Jesus and bride. Jesus and bride. I'll give you a count after the service. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, last Lord's Day we heard from Genesis 23, and we heard from God's word the end of Sarah's life, Sarah's death and Sarah's burial, and that is actually the first part of this story. This morning's passage is the second part. In Genesis 23, Abraham saw to the burial of his wife Sarah, and he mourned for her death. And here the second part in Genesis 24, Abraham sees to the retrieval of a wife for his son Isaac. These two events are significantly tied together because Isaac is nearly 40 when his mother dies. And it's significant to the timing when his father sets out to find him a wife. Now in Genesis 24, Abraham commissions his servant, his oldest servant, the servant who has control over all that Abraham has. This is likely Eliezer, about whom we heard earlier in the book of Genesis. And he sent his servant to leave Canaan, where they were living at the time. And Eliezer, previously as Abraham's number one servant, stood to inherit everything that Abraham had before Ishmael and Isaac were born. But here, commissioned for this task, Eliezer had to leave Canaan, and he had to go back to Nahor, because Abraham didn't want Isaac to take a wife from the Canaanites. And he didn't want Isaac to have to leave the land himself to go find a wife. So Abraham the father sent his servant to find a bride for the son. In this, Abraham's desire is fatherly care for Isaac, because the Canaanites didn't worship Yahweh. And Abraham didn't want his son's faith compromised. He didn't want Isaac led astray by a bride, a wife, who worshipped other gods. We see this later in the history of redemption when Ahab married Jezebel, and Jezebel led him astray. Solomon, too, was compromised by marrying a bride who worshipped other gods. Abraham also reveals covenantal concern here for Isaac. Covenantal concern for the seed and covenantal concern for the land. Keeping Isaac from marrying Canaanites preserves the seed of Abraham's line. Going all the way back to the garden, Genesis 3:15, God's promise to Eve, the seed of the woman, would have enmity with the seed of the serpent. It was lived out in the life of Sarah, protecting the seed of the serpent, coming to attack Sarah, seeking to kill the seed or corrupt the seed through multiplication. Literally, Pharaoh and Abimelech snatched Sarah. But there's also the potential for idolaters to come into the house and corrupt the seed. And brothers and sisters, we can draw from this. We can draw wisdom from this. This is essential to our faith. God's people marry God's people. Christians marry Christians. Boys and girls, think to yourself right now, what is the greatest commandment? What did Jesus teach was the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love God first. Love God with all of your being. Love God in every area of your life. And a spouse, your partner in life, who does not love the Lord, will compromise your loyalties. That spouse will compromise your affections. A spouse who hates God when you seek to love God, that spouse will constantly challenge you to join in their hatred of God, undermining your faith. So God's people marry God's people. Christians marry Christians. Now, if a potential spouse whom you are seeking converts to the Christian faith, that is acceptable for marriage. This happened in the book of Ruth. Ruth converts, Ruth the Moabitess. She converts in the first chapter of Ruth. She says to Naomi, your people shall be my people, your God will be my God. So Ruth converted, she joined the people of God, and then Boaz could marry her. So Abraham sought to protect Isaac from being corrupted, from having the house and the seed corrupted. He sought a wife for Isaac from his people. Covenantally, Abraham was also concerned with the covenant promise of the land. Yahweh promised Abraham seed and land. Don't let Isaac go back to Nahor. Stay in Canaan. Abraham has been traveling throughout his life, throughout this Abrahamic narrative. But now at the end of Abraham's life, Isaac can begin to enjoy some of the fruits of dominion by remaining in Canaan. So he sent Eliezer the servant, go back to Nahor, find a wife for Isaac. So in Genesis 24, we read that the servant comes to the well. He meets Rebekah. Rebekah is the daughter of Bethuel. This was Abraham's grandniece. She was of Abraham's family. She was within the requirements Abraham gave the servant. We read later in Genesis 24, although we didn't read it this morning, that her family believed in the Lord. They confessed the name of the Lord. Now this marriage match here, although it is Eliezer, but we have a joining together here, a meeting at a well. It is a marriage match at a well. Can you think to yourself, boys and girls, the first marriage match at water in the whole Bible? When did the first husband and wife get married at water? Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve met in the garden where a river separated into four headwaters to water the garden and to go to the four corners of the earth. The garden was well watered. The garden was the place where the Lord covenantally, your maker, your husband, would come to meet his people. That's where the first marriage was. And a well-watered garden symbolizes life. Water is life. As the deer pants for water, our souls pant for the Lord. Water is life. And as we confess from the Nicene Creed, the Lord is the giver of life. Now, this will be a recurring theme in Scripture, where the Lord preserves women at wells. Men meet their brides at wells. We've already heard in Genesis, the angel of the Lord preserved Hagar at water two times. He provided for her water, for he provided life. Women, mothers, are life givers. A good activity for you today, perhaps round table, is to think all the examples in Holy Scripture of where husbands met wives at wells. It happened a lot. Most notably, in the Gospels, John 4, Jesus met the Samaritan woman at the well. She had five husbands. The sixth man was not her husband. She was living with him. And standing before her at that well was the seventh, Jesus, the perfect husband for the Samaritan woman. This is one of the main themes in the history of redemption, because from the beginning, the Father has prepared a bride for his Son. God brought Eve to Adam. And throughout history, God has prepared a people for his Son, the bridegroom, a beautiful, glorious people for the Son. The church is the bride of Jesus Christ. We are his bride. We meet him in worship. We meet with our bridegroom, and he gives us life. He washes us in the waters of baptism. And we return week after week to have our feet washed by our husband in confessing sin. And then our bridegroom washes us with the water of the word. He cleanses us. He prepares us for the feast. And this is how it will be through history. God's people, his glorious bride, being regularly washed and cleansed and prepared, ultimately culminating when he returns to consummate his kingdom with his bride, which we heard earlier in Revelation 21. And that is to which we look forward as his people, when Jesus returns to be with his bride. Now in Genesis 24, Abraham commissioned his servant to find a bride for his son. Not coincidentally, this was after the death of Sarah. Basically, Abraham is seeking a new woman for his son. Sarah, whom others in Genesis had described as beautiful, would no longer be the woman in Isaac's life. Sarah died. And Abraham is old, as we heard this morning. He will die. So this quest by the servant for the son to find a bride is a transition in Isaac's life, and it's a transition in the story. We are transitioning from Abraham's story to Isaac's story. We're also transitioning from motherly care to wifely care. So we have a death and resurrection of the woman in the people of God. And because Rebekah is family, the storyline continues of sister bride. She is related to Isaac. So Isaac will go forth, like Abraham, with his sister, his bride. Abraham and Sarah were married. They were brother and sister. Isaac and Rebekah are related. They will be married. And this is biblical. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 1, the king beholds his beloved, whom he calls my sister, my bride. I have come to my garden, my sister, my bride. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with milk. This is covenantal sisterhood. This doesn't mean literally marry your flesh and blood sister. But in the church, men, you marry your sister. You find a Christian sister and marry her. And this is the new covenant fulfillment of the Levirate law. If a husband dies, the wife needs to remarry. She needs to marry a brother, a Christian brother. So in the church, again, we marry Christians. Abraham, as his time ends, Abraham, a traveling prophet, he will give way to Isaac as the covenant head in the story. And Isaac will begin to exercise dominion in the land of Canaan. And the Lord will continue to bring to fruition his plan of redemption through the promised seed. In the story of Genesis, Isaac will go from passive seed, needing protection from father and from mother, to an active participant, a covenant partner with his sister bride, Rebekah. But to carry out that covenantal plan of God in Genesis, it's not good for the man to be alone. It's not good for Isaac to be alone. Abraham will fade to the background. Isaac will take hold of the covenant by faith, and he will do it with his new bride, Rebekah. Eliezer reflects this transition in his comments, verse 65. When the servant and Rebekah neared Isaac in the field, she said to the servant, "Who is this man walking in the field to meet us?" The servant said, "It is my master." Throughout this chapter, the servant has been referring to Abraham as his master. And here we have a transition. As Isaac marries Rebekah, he will be put in charge of the house. We also see the servant is faithful to the promise, protecting Isaac's inheritance, not seeking it for his own. So in Genesis 24, Rebekah has agreed to go back with Eliezer. She's agreed to marry Isaac. She submits to the call. She submits to the call to go back. This is her own Abrahamic call. She had to arise, leave your land, leave your family, leave your people. Go to the place where the Lord is calling you. Very similar to Genesis 12 when Abraham had to go. And in this, as the story has gone, the Lord has first called Abraham. He's called a covenantal husband. And secondly, he has called a covenantal bride. And this is his pattern. Husband goes first, bride follows second. And that's lived out in the gospel. Jesus has gone before us as our bridegroom. Jesus has led us in serving, in suffering, and dying. Jesus has led in death and resurrection. And we as his people, as his bride, we follow our bridegroom in this. Jesus, our bridegroom, leads us through testing. He leads the bride through testing unto glory. Bridegroom leads, bride follows. But Jesus has not left us alone to follow the trail he has blazed. The Spirit is with us. The Spirit guides us in following Jesus. The Spirit, whom in the Nicene Creed, who the Nicene Creed is called the Lord and Giver of Life, the Spirit in the Bible is connected to that water. The Spirit is living water that flows out of the new covenant temple prophesied in Ezekiel 47. The Spirit is the water flowing out of Christians, Jesus confessed in John 10. Anyone who believes in me, living waters will flow out of you. You covenantally and you individually in your faith in Jesus. That is the Spirit. And the Spirit cares for the bride. Jesus has gone into heaven and his going into heaven is good for us because the Spirit comes to be with us. Revelation 22, again, this image of water. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each fruit yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. Skipping down to verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. That is the Spirit tending to the people of God for the bridegroom, Jesus Christ. And is the Spirit who washes the bride for the bridegroom. Brothers and sisters, this sermon passage today, we skipped over the section, which I encourage you to read on your own, of the deal that the servant made with Laban, Rebekah's brother, and with the house. But this whole chapter, Genesis 24, is a glorious picture of the gospel. You can see the symbolism in it. You can see the typology in it. The father sends his servant to prepare the bride for the bridegroom. And the servant is to be selfless, devoted entirely to the cause of the bridegroom. Well, that's the gospel. The father sends his servants. Historically, that has been his leaders, his prophets, to prepare the people of God for the coming of the bridegroom. In a new covenant church, it is his servants, his leaders of the church, preparing the bride for the bridegroom. In the inside cover of your liturgy, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2, the Apostle Paul said, I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. That is Paul, an apostle, a servant of the church, like Eliezer, devoted entirely to the cause of the Son. We can see in Eliezer's concern, fulfilling the vow to Abraham, Eliezer protecting the inheritance for Isaac, and then going to report back to the father. Eliezer was a servant for the son. And in Genesis 24, the servant of the father tested the bride. He tested Rebekah at the well. And she served and cared for the servant in giving him water. He blessed the bride in preparing her to meet the bridegroom Isaac. And when the two, Isaac and Rebekah, approached one another, she veiled herself. She's about to meet her bridegroom. In anticipation of that meeting, she covered her beauty for the appropriate revealing in the consummation of marriage. And we've seen this historically in the wedding ceremony in the church, where a veiled bride has come forward, and that wedding ceremony testifies to the marriage union of Jesus and his bride, the church. That's why historically brides have worn veils. And then in the marriage ceremony, revealing or pulling back that veil in the ceremony. Because in the marriage ceremony, when she takes her veil back, she comes under the protective wing of her bridegroom, of her husband. So Rebekah would remove her veil to come under the protection of Isaac's tent. She would become the number one woman in his life, replacing Sarah. Now, the Spirit reveals that Rebekah was already beautiful. She was already a beautiful bride for the bridegroom. But by the grace of God, the bride will become more and more glorious in marriage. And the same is true for the church. The Apostle Paul testifies to the church, you are justified in Jesus. You are sanctified, and you are glorified. Yes, done. It is true. But the Spirit brings the bride, the church of Jesus Christ, from glory to glory. So we become more and more beautiful for our bridegroom. And in the new covenant, Jesus is that new veil. Jesus is the new firmament separating heaven from earth. And in the worship service, heaven is opened, Jesus, the veil, pulls back, and God comes together with his people in covenantal worship, and we behold his glory by faith in the worship service. The Spirit comes and serves and blesses and prepares us for that covenantal union for eternity. And in the worship service, the Spirit changes us from glory to glory. And by faith, we go forth from the house. We go forth as servants of our bridegroom. We are faithful in our covenantal relationship with Jesus. We are to hate and flee adultery. Don't love the world, Christian. Don't love the things of the world. Love Jesus. Love what he loves. Hate what he hates. Don't dabble in false religious systems. Be faithful to your husband. Be faithful to Jesus. And by the grace of the Spirit, move from glory to glory. Grow in holiness. Mature in the faith. May the Spirit bless and protect, or may the Spirit bless and perfect us, growing us into maturity. Laziness and complacency are unfaithful to our husband. He desires a glorious bride. And Christian, when we approach our bridegroom individually in death, covenantally in consummation, according to the promises of God, we will be that glorious covenantal partner. The covenantal partner God has called us to be, and the covenantal partner the Spirit has made us to be. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. O Lord, we ask, let your continual pity cleanse and defend your church. And because we cannot continue in safety without your protection and strength, preserve us evermore by your help and goodness, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.